Tonight, Jeff plays with his tool. Jeff Dimitri does a 69. And Mike gets thrown in jail for refusing to give the two of them a marriage license.
This is Jeff Radke from LostSkillsPodcast.com.
A.K.A. Cheesehead Jeff.
I thought it was Dimitri.
Jeff Dimitri. Yes.
Yeah. I should have said this is not Couch Potato Mike.
This is not Couch Potato Mike. No. Couch Potato Mike, we had scheduling issues. So Jeff Dimitri is going to stand in for Couch Potato Mike, who, so if you listen to the show, you know that the episodes usually end by us ripping off Top Gear and having a, it's on tonight's episode. I had Mike call and leave me a voicemail for today's episode. So it sounds kind of grainy, but it's hilarious and fuck it.
Yeah, what James didn't say is I really killed Mike and I took his job because I love this place.
Well, the listeners already know because they've heard it. See, he sent two voicemails, and one was, and Mike's in jail for refusing to marry James and Dimitri.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, on tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about tools, which is, honestly, it's a subject that I was thinking about covering anyway, because I've started DVR in the Woodwright shop and got re-hooked on Roy Underhill.
I love that show.
I love everything he does. And I started watching his old house.
I remember watching that as a kid all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was laughing when you're like, oh, I cut my finger off. Oh, man, I remember that. Like every episode,
yes! Yeah. I think I have four episodes DVR'd now, and I know at least one, he nicked himself. He caught the fucking chisel, and you know his chisels are sharp as shit. He was like, let me catch this with the back of my hand, and just sliced his knuckle off.
Yeah,
that's all I remember from the show as a kid. I'm like, he just blundered around and hurt himself.
I remember he made really cool stuff, and if I ever tried to make it, it never looked like what he made. Never.
Yeah.
I'm more quick and dirty.
That's probably because you didn't have the right tools.
Well, that's probably part of it, yeah. But yeah. I have a lot of the right tools now.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about in today's episode.
I have to say one more thing. Mike, this is what a podcast sounds like when you don't have nuts in your mouth. Just saying.
Actually, hold on. I meant to tell you. So I told Mike about the contest to call him a girl with a sweet southern accent and how nobody had fucking emailed me. There's even a guy at work that listened to the podcast, and I was like, hey, no one has done this. Send me an email calling Mike a bitch, and you'll get a free knife. Okay, I'll tell you, motherfucker never did it. How hard are you ladies on the bitches? So I told Mike about that, and he's like, oh, a free knife? So he sent me a fucking email dissing himself. I'm trying to find it real quick.
I was going to say, I think you should just include it on the episode. Maybe make him read it to me or something on the next one.
Shit. Where? Is it still in the junk folder? I thought I unjunked it.
That's funny. So now I got to send Mike a knife because he ripped on himself. That's sad.
Yes. You know, free knife, though.
There was that one guy on Facebook, and I'm like, so send an email, and he never did.
Yeah, lazy sons of bitches.
Man, that's what's wrong with this country nowadays. A guy tries to give away free stuff to go rip on someone for him, and nobody will even take him up on it.
I know.
Actually, I didn't have anybody enter the contest either. That's why I don't do contests usually, because no one want, either I'll get no one or I'll get like a couple people. I think one time I had 20 people. Just never works for me. Never works.
I had some contests I ran like when the site was like 2 months old. Like I launched it in like March, and then I was like for September, which happens to be National Preparedness Month, I contacted like a shit ton of vendors. Like I sent out hundreds and hundreds of emails and got what was it? I got one prize every day of the week, Monday through Friday, for the entire fucking month, and gave something away every single fucking day.
Yeah,
I got a lot of entries on that one. You know, I don't mean like junk. Like I gave away an eco stove. I gave away some SOE tactical gear, thousands of dollars worth of merchandise for like a 3-4 month old fucking website.
Yeah, that's
traffic
crazy.
Boom that month.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say you guys get about 100. You guys get 100,000 views a month, or. That's what I'm up to about now. When you guys said 100,000 views a month.
I don't think so. Like, I've looked at, shit, what is that? I can't find his email. It was there and then it's gone. I'll look at it later. Whatever. I don't know.
I think you should find that email and then make him read it and then attach it to this episode right about in this area of the episode.
Yeah.
Because I'll listen to it.
I will.
And
not this episode, probably the next episode.
And you know what? If someone else decides to rip on Mike and decides not to be lazy, anybody from survivalpunk.com, rip on Mike and I will mail you a Cold Steel Bushman. Just that's a quick contest for today. Anybody rips on Mike, you know, in an email, or if you go to this episode and email or put a message underneath and rip on Mike, I'll send a Cold Steel Bushman. Just send James your address. We'll see if your listeners are any less lazy than mine.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's
shit.
Funny.
We're chasing too many rabbits. So I don't want to do this
already.
I don't want to do it interview style. You're my co-host. You've been promoted to co-host of the episode.
Right.
So we're going to kind of go just back and forth, chit-chat. You know, I jotted down some notes, and I sent them over to you. And then after sending, I realized there was one that I didn't mention, which I want to mention. That's tool maintenance. We'll get to that later on.
Okay.
So just sort of first, like, I want to talk about the most used tools, the tools that I use the most and the tools that you use the most, the ones that, like, are your go-tos. You're like, I'm probably going to be needing that.
Okay. Oh, I got to think about that for a minute. I have a lot of tools. Like, my tool budget is almost, well, not unlimited, but if I need something, I usually don't get too much squabble from my wife because it's something that we need. I always looked at it this way, you know, I could do it myself, I could buy the tools, and I could do it cheaper than a contractor. Like, I got a planer, I mean, I got, you know, a lot of tools that most people don't have. I don't do that much woodworking, but I made all the trim for in the house, and I told her, you either want to buy the trim, or I'll make some really nice, just plain trim, and we'll get a planer and get some rough cut boards. So, you know, it's stuff like that, and it's a $250 planer, yeah, go ahead and buy it. You know, it's kind of cool. I got an awesome wife that way, and she likes me to fix her stuff.
It's funny because I want to go the opposite way. Like, I've been – I don't know if you watch the Paul Sellers videos on YouTube, but I really want to get a bunch of
I have hand planes too. I have – you know, I have hand tools, but, you know.
Yeah,
a hand tool your wife won't complain about too much because they're like $50 ish, you know.
Right.
$250 planer. Most people's wives would be like, "You really need that? Really?"
Yeah.
my wife's like, "Well, which one do you want? We're standing in Home Depot. Let's get it."
Nice.
Yeah, but I have a lot of hand tools, and I've just been getting back to that because I like the, it's quiet, you know?
Yeah. You need to get a little workout going in.
Right. Yep, handsaw. I've been crushing on axes lately.
Nice.
I've been collecting axes. I just picked up at a yard sale two Collins, a Kelly, and an unnamed one, and I bought them all for $40 with handles. You can't even buy one in the store for that, hardly. And they're all like 50s, 60s, 70s vintage,
yeah.
You know, better steel and stuff.
I was totally going to talk about that in a minute, just where you can find those good deals.
What are your most used tools?
I was looking around. I was like, I especially recently, my most used tool is I've got a pretty big size bow saw.
Okay.
I've been processing some lumber outside, cutting down some trees, breaking off branches. I mean, you've seen my the garden beds and stuff I've been building. That's all been by handsaw, which
yeah.
is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been getting a lot of work. I have a DeWalt drill and I use that constantly for everything.
Nice.
Yeah. I got it on sale like right before Christmas. They had like two drills or a drill. I think it was two drills for under $100.
Yeah.
So I snatched that up.
That's got to be one of my go-tos, too. I have a Craftsman set, the C3, where they have all the different tools that use the same battery.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just ended up with Craftsman somehow, and then I was like, oh, man, my batteries are crap. And my wife looks at me, and she goes, you know, it's cheaper just to buy a new drill with the batteries and the charger than it is just to buy a couple of batteries. I'm like, all right, fair enough. So I got like three Craftsman drills now.
Oh, wow.
I got three. I got like the cordless impact. I use that a lot. I like that. If you could get the cordless impact wrench for your DeWalt for like taking tires off and stuff, that's just stellar. It's a time saver, especially you don't have an air compressor, you know?
Right.
That's got to be one of my go-to tools. An air compressor. I use it all the time. I don't know how I live without it.
Shoot. I don't have them now, but I had a couple shitty-ass chisels here, and I use those constantly. And, you know, now I've got my eyeballs on the, there's a nice Stanley set you can get on Amazon that has, like, the wooden handles, and they're made, I think, in Sheffield, England, like, everything that's good that has a blade. Definitely want to get a new set of chisels.
Yeah, I need to get a new set, too. I got, like, a cheap Stanley set, you know, from like, you know, with the plastic handles stuff. I bought them when we moved into the house, you know, because when you have a house, you need a damn chisel for things sometimes. And it's notched floor beams. And mine are not as sharp as Roy Underhill's, I can tell you that. They're pretty dull. But yeah, I need to get it. I've been looking at a set of those. I've been looking at some planes. Actually, I go down, they have an antique shop now, and I've been going to an antique shop and buying stuff. I went there looking for axes originally, came home with a hand drill and some other stuff.
All right. Let's just jump right into that. So, just like places to find tools that are cheap. Because we all know that like, if we had the Jeff Radke unlimited wife budget, we would just go to Home Depot and Lowe's and just buy, you know, chop saws left and right. But some of us are poor. So I know recently I was driving, there's out here where I live now, in front of one of the stores, there's these people always set up like basically yard sales out on the side of the road.
That's awesome. Place.
Yeah. And they have like, so, couple of things that I'm always looking for at, you know, yard sales and shits like that, you know, is a scythe, and I keep missing it, although Halloween's coming up, and I'm sure I'll find one.
Oh, my God.
And at that time, I needed a pickaxe. And they had a pickaxe, like an old You know, it was fairly rusted, and the handle was not the best, but it worked. It was fine. It was good old metal, and I paid $5 for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the nice part about a pickaxe is, you know, you can basically make a handle for it yourself. I mean, they're just a friction fit, you know. Yeah, I had that. Well, that antique place is like that, you know. It's kind of like someone just, you know, threw up about 20 estates into this antique shop. Yeah. And they have literally ever, you know, like a whiskey barrel. They have a whiskey barrel full of handsaws there for $3 a piece. I mean, just it's insane.
Nice.
And people buy them and they, you know, paint pictures and crap on them. And I was like, I started pulling them out. I was checking the teeth to see if they were sharp. I'm like, ooh, these are sharp ones. Here's six bucks. And go give the lady some money. You know, they have a bunch of pickaxes. I've been looking for Pulaski. I haven't been able to find one yet. I don't think they're that popular in my area. You know, with the regular axe blade on one side, and then it's like turned at a 90, so you can dig like trenches and stuff with it.
Yeah.
And cut roots.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find one, and I don't know if it's just they ain't popular here or what. But I go yard sailing. In fact, I still need to find a couple of damn wrenches because I want to build that wrench knife that you showed me.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna build like two or three of those, and I was because you get wrenches for like a quarter at a yard sale. I wanted to find one, have one for me, and if I was gonna make one, I was just gonna send you guys each one, but. You know, I haven't found any good wrenches. It's got to be a fairly big wrench, I think, because, otherwise you have a tiny little blade. So I've been looking for stuff like that, too, but I hit yard sales. Yeah, that'll work. I would think it's got to be like a 3/4 inch or bigger, because they usually got the long handles.
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, I hit that stuff all the time. Every time I see a yard sale, I'll drive by, do the quick scan. If there's guy stuff, whip a Yui and go back. My wife hates me for it.
I thought every wife loves to go yard selling.
Oh, well, my wife's kind of more tomboyish, I guess, than that. Yeah, when the kid was little, she used to buy all the stuff there. So I was like, ooh, awesome, yard sale, yard sale, yard sale, you know.
Yeah.
Now she's like, well, Peyton doesn't need anything. I'm like, come on, I want to go there. There's stuff. And if I'm driving and there's guy stuff, she don't even get a chance. I just, fine, stay in the car then.
Wow.
I've said that before. But
I've had good luck at yard sales and those weird, like, random thrift store, bizarre antique stores. There was one where I was living at before that had... Oh, they had a great random selection of stuff, but their prices were kind of hit or miss. It's like, oh, that's a really great deal, or are you fucking stupid? You know, I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a sweet broadaxe I really wanted, but it was like $250.
I remember you talking about going to the Pickers store. And,
yes.
I was up in, where the heck? Oh, I was in St. Ignace, Michigan last weekend, a couple days ago. And we were driving through, and there's a UP Pickers store. That's what it said on the thing, UP Pickers. And I was like, I want to go there. And then my wife's like, well, we're going to this other place right now, and we got to get going. It's like, on the way back then. And on the way back, I forgot. And I was like, oh, man. I told her, next time we're going to that store, I don't care.
Probably missed out. The one time that I went to the Nashville Pickers, I was just looking around. And I saw cast iron, so like my heart started beating. I'm like, ooh, it's cast iron. I flipped over and looked at the back, and it was a Wagner. Good old, yeah. And no rust, nothing. It was perfect. Perfectly smooth, reflective. I went up there and like I was trying to play it cool. I'm like, oh, how much do you want for this old cast iron? He was like, $10. My money was out of my pocket before he even finished saying $10. I'm like, take my money now.
Yeah, you go to the one down here by us, and I was looking at that too, and I bet you there must have been about 15-20 cast iron pans in there, and they were all right around $8-10.
Nice.
What I should be doing is buying that and selling it on eBay. That's what I should be doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've tried to, like, buy old Griswold and Wagner cast iron off eBay, and you'll never find one for $10, $30, $200, it's up there. Depending right. on how rare and whatever it is, but locally you can find them $5-$10. You'll never find them that much on eBay, ever.
Yeah. You ever watch Wrangler Stars videos on YouTube?
I have not watched them. I've watched a couple recently. Really catch my interest.
He's got one on there where he shows like this old beam drill. It's got like two handles, and you sit on the beam and you crank them, and then it goes down. And he went on and on about how rare this drill is, and blah blah blah. And I walked in that antique store; they had two of them there for $200 a piece. I was like, holy cow. Ain't that rare. He said he had been scouring for years. And, yeah, I walked in the place, and there's two of them sitting there with drill bits.
Wow. So, I wonder what their online value would have been.
I don't know. But, you know, that they around here, I'm sure they used them for barn beams and stuff. So I'm sure they were pretty common back then, you know. And, you know, I think they have a couple of sites in there. Last time I looked, I'm pretty sure that they have everything. I can't ship you one of those. I they'd look really funny if I wrapped it all up in cardboard and sent it.
Yeah. I really want a not so much a grain scythe, but they make a like a weeding scythe. It's just you know, go out there and so what I'm doing now is since I don't have a weed eater, but I have a sling blade, which is a good workout as well. I've been clearing sort of the back 40 with the sling blade. And I've got Mike's backyard, my sort of front side yard cleared that I'm trying to do some winter stuff with, plant some more garden beds. I meant to tell you about this, actually. Even though you can't use it as a service, you can be jealous. I was scrolling Craigslist for tools and stuff, and I found a company here in Tennessee that they combine like arborists that have spare mulch with people that want spare mulch, and you sign up on there, and they'll come drop mulch in your driveway. They're like, "Oh, we're in the area. Bam! Here, have a truckload of mulch."
Yeah, like around here they trim like the power lines and stuff, and I know a couple of people that do that. And usually if I need some wood chips, I tell them, hey, next time you're around my house and you have a truckload of wood chips, which is basically a huge dump truck full, and they'll just drive by, drop it off. But I haven't had anybody working around here lately. My neighbor had his tree took down and they did that. I said, dump it in a field. I'll take care of it. So I did that.
Yeah,
Craigslist is an awesome place to find tools. I mean, as long as you kind of, you know, get away from all the flaky people, you know, there's sometimes kind of flaky people on there. I always put something on there and I get like 10,000 looky-loos and they just want to kick tires and shit and it gets pretty boring, you know. I mean, like I had an ice shack, so like a port. You ever see those deer blinds that pop up and they're just like big enough for one dude to just sit in? They kind of got a rounded top. They look like a tent.
Yeah.
Basically, they make an ice shack that's basically the same thing with a tarp floor, and I had it, and I used it a couple times, but I was just like, yeah, this thing kind of sucks to set up. Huh. I think I paid $120 for it at Walmart, and I put it on Craigslist for $80, and I sold it like within, you know, 12 hours or something like that. It was amazingly quick. But, you know, he was looking, it was right before winter and he wanted to go ice fishing, so he came and picked it up.
Timing, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some good deals, I meant to take them up, I sort of look at things and, put them in the back of my mind for later. Not so much tools, but you can find rain barrels on there pretty often, you know, for like $15.
Yeah.
Everyone needs that.
Yeah, I could get barrels like that, but I'd never want to use them for rainwater because they put a cleaner for the tanks where I work. They spray them like a phosphate.
And
I was just I don't know if that's cool for rainwater or not. I don't know enough about it. So it's like, well, I use that for other projects, like that sled I made. I used a barrel for that, and I use them for other things. But yeah, that's the nice part about working at a factory. I mean, they're so wasteful. Amazing. Yeah. You know, back to one of the most used tools. I have a vise I got from the factory I work at, a big vise, a 6-inch Wilton. It's like a $300 vise. Well, some fool, they bought it, put a pipe on the handle, and they had it like a week and stripped the threads out of the inside. And yeah. I took it home. I actually did a YouTube video. I took it home and I showed the piece. It cost me $8 for the piece and $10 shipping. And I stuck it in the vise, threaded a bolt up, and I had myself a $200, $300 vise for pennies, you know, basically pennies.
Yeah.
A friend of mine at work goes, "You still got that thing?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I remember you carried it out. That sucker was heavy." I said, "Yeah, well, it was all cast iron. Really, really nice, you know." When I can find things like that at work where they don't want them, I take them. They've chucked away a bunch of stuff, like air tools, you know, they wear out, but they don't all wear out the same way, so I take them home, sometimes take them apart, put one together from parts, stuff like that. That's another place if, you know, you work somewhere to get stuff like that. Yeah. I know a friend of mine...
I got a small pallet from work that I made a end table out of, coffee table, end table...
Yeah, a friend of mine I used to work with, he retired now. He worked at Walmart, and he was always doing metal work and stuff. And, you know, they just shit can the displays when they don't want them no more. He used to take them home and scavenge the metal out of them. They would just give them to him. Yeah, he built crazy stuff, and, you know, they all snap together with them snaps. He just built stuff that snapped right into the snap part, you know. He built a whole display for someone at a craft show out of that stuff.
I was going to say, so when big retail stores like that do remodels, a lot of the old stuff just gets thrown away because they're lazy.
Right.
And I had a bookshelf for a while that was a small one-sided upright with shelves like that on it with pegboard backing. And so if you ever look behind the counters in like the deli and the meat department, they have really nice stainless steel prep tables.
Yeah.
I've got one of those.
I was going to say, you're waiting for one of those, aren't you?
No, I somehow managed to cram this very big, like, you know, it's a 3 foot wide, 2 feet deep, you know, probably 4 foot high stainless steel prep table. I managed to cram it in my tiny little freaking hatchback. It was like, I'm like, you will go in there.
Yeah, and you know, when you work at a place like that and you get and they have that stuff where they just don't want it, you know, why not take it home and just throw it up on Craigslist? And, you know, even if you put $50, I mean, that's $50 you could go buy tools with, you know, if you don't have a unlimited tool budget. Such as myself. I don't know. There's been a couple of things where she asked me if I really needed it. I tried to buy a portable sawmill one time, and she asked me if I really needed that or not. So it's not
really
unlimited. Okay, funny story. My wife wants to move. She wants to buy a bigger house. We got the kid, you know, and toys are everywhere, and you're tripping on toys and crap. And she wanted to buy a bigger house, so I said, figure out what you want in-house. I want to, if you move, we move again, this is it. I'm not moving again. I don't want to remodel houses for the rest of my life. It sucks. So she was talking, and I told her, here's my criteria. It's got to have more land. I want like 5 acres. I said, doesn't have to have a big garage like the one we have now. I said, that's not a deal breaker. I'll build one. I said, if you buy a house without a big garage, keep in mind I'm going to buy a portable sawmill and I'm going to cut all lumber for my damn garage and I'm going to build it with rough cut lumber so that I will get my sawmill. You know, you could buy it. You know, Harbor Freight is a good place for that. I mean, they even have portable sawmills there.
Yeah. I was going to say, and like, you can get some really good, like, And of course, in a perfect world, we'd all want to have the best, highest-end, most expensive tools. But sometimes the cheap ones will really do good enough.
Well, I've got a lot especially, of
stuff from Harbor Freight.
And especially, you know, if it's something where you know you're going to use it once or twice or whatever, and it might sit for years, you know what I mean? A friend of mine bought a roofing nailer there when he needed to roof his house. Just to buy the roofing nailer was like $100, but I mean, you know, how much did he save by roofing his own place? You know, it's
yeah.
And then he roofed his house. He roofed his when we built his garage. He roofed his garage. He borrowed that thing out. I don't know how many times. I borrowed it when I roofed my house and garage. I mean, it was you know that those things are bulletproof. I think you could drop one out of a 747 and pick it up and clip it into an air hose. It would still fire. I think they're just
yeah.
You know, it's amazing the use that for a cheap tool that it still fires nails. I think he bought it 15 years. Oh man, it's more than almost 20 years ago now. Yeah, I wasn't married yet. I think yeah, around 15 years. That was when I was dating my wife. Now I'm old.
Oh, wow.
I just told everybody how old I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and that's a, you know, I own a lot of Harbor Freight tools. A lot of times I go there, like, and for like sandpaper and stuff like that,
body tools.
Specialty car tools, I mean, if I have some tools from there that if you bought them, like, from the Snap-on guy, it's just, shudder. It gives me shudders to think about it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
I have tools for taking door springs out, and I think I paid $10 for it at Harbor Freight, and I know it wouldn't be $10 if I bought it from Snap-on.
Yeah. I mean, some of the people are going to hate me, but I've bought several of those, like, $5 or $10 ratchet sets you get from, like, Walmart or Harbor Freight, you know, wherever, like, the cheap, cheap little, like, ratchet set. And I've abused the fuck out of them because they're $5 and I have, like, two or three sets. You know, like, one in my, you know, toolbox and, like, two in my car. And all that time, I've managed to break the ratcheting mechanism in one of them.
Yeah.
But I still have two more.
Right.
If anything, I now just have to replace one ratchet. I can then spend, you know, a bit of more money to buy a Craftsman ratchet. Because I've never broke any of the shitty little sockets or anything.
Right.
You know, and
yeah, I usually...
I'm not the best at keeping up with the socket, so if I lose one or two sockets, I'll just go buy a whole new set because it's only $5. Fuck it.
Right. Well, when I first started working at the job I work at now, and I was a welder, and I wasn't making much money, and I needed more tools and stuff like that. What I did every week, instead of go to the bar and drink, I spent $20 on tools. I did that for like a couple of years, and you'd be amazed how many hand tools I have. And if I didn't have enough, you know, if I wanted something that was more than $20, I just saved it a couple of weeks, and you know, then I did it. I mean, that's an easy way to buy tools. Who misses $20 nowadays?
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, it's...
You know,
it's
and you
like,
just put it off to the side.
Yeah. And I tell people to do that with prepping all the time. I'm like, every paycheck, take $20 and go buy $20 worth of an item. So go spend $20 and buy, like, $20 worth of cases of water. You're now set for water for, you know, a week. Couple days,
right?
You can buy a lot of fucking water, you know, in like the bottled water cases. I think 35 bottles of water here is like $3 ish,
right.
$3.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, you could, the people can do those little things and get, you know, set for prepping. It's just amazing. It really costs so little to have the basics, you know.
Yeah,
And that's the same with tools. I mean, if, you know, people, I don't know, sometimes I think that they think, well, you talk about tools and building crap and stuff like that, Jeff. That's not very survival-y. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, who the hell do you think you're going to bring your shit to after collapse when you need something fixed that you can't? It's going to be
yeah.
me. You
well,
know, that.
Building a garden bed, building a... So, I took on the stupid project right now of trying to make a bench out of a log. So did you see that video of the log that me and Mike threw in the redneck caver video?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I have a log saved from last year. I got to make that. I've been meaning to make it. Because yeah. you challenged me in one of your episodes.
Oh, yeah. So, the caver now is mostly, I've tried to sort of hand hew it using my Buck Hoodlum knife and a tomahawk.
Oh.
And it's mostly, it actually looks very squared off. I mean, I'm trying to, I don't have a draw knife, so I'm using the Hoodlum knife as a draw knife. And I'm like, damn, I wish I had a plane. A plane would be so, I'd be done.
Yeah.
Or God, your $200 planer, just whoom, done.
yeah. Well, you can buy, you know, Harbor Freight does sell those things. I have a Harbor Freight hand plane that I use sometimes. I bought it, you know, when I bought it, it was a small one. I bought it for like, you know, just doing the edge of a door when you get a sticky door. And I think I spent $5-$10 on it and shaved the door off.
That's one of those tools that I look for at the yard sales, like an old Stanley plane. When some idiot doesn't know what it's worth, I'm really like getting into the woodworking and I want to build up my woodworking tools, like smaller. So I either want to go with, I'm about to move into the hand tools over power tools, because this is right where this is at. So I either want to go old when they built it to last for fucking ever, or there's a couple of new ones that they're realizing they need to build better. So like instead of buying the plastic handle Stanley ones, I want to buy the wooden higher quality Stanley ones.
Right.
I don't want Roy Underhill to trash talk me. If you go to Roy Underhill's woodworking school in South Carolina and you bring in plastic chisels, he'll throw you the fuck out of the class. He's like, you come back with wooden handles, you don't come back at all.
Well, that's why I like watching like Wrangler Star videos, because he does a lot of the old tools. You know, he takes them, restores them. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. There's another good YouTube channel. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but check it out. It's called Chop with Chris. The dude does everything with hand tools. He'll split the log. He hews it. I mean, he does everything with hand tools. I don't even know if he uses screws. I think he built a lathe, and I don't think he used screws in it. He built like a pedal powered lathe, and there was only a couple things I don't think that he, you know, I think he couldn't make out of wood.
Oh wow!
Even the
spindles, the pins, the metal.
Well, like the pin for the mechanism for the pedal and stuff, I think he even made those out of wood. He made like everything out of wood, everything he could. The dude's amazing, and he does like you know how you speed up a video on YouTube, you can go 5-10 times faster or whatever.
Right.
Like the chopping part's all fast, so it's like really super funny when you watch it. But yeah, I like watching it when he puts out videos. Yeah, Chop with Chris. Yeah, you gotta check it out. It's awesome. I got really sucked into the YouTube woodworking thing there for a while, and it's like, oh man, I got a website to build. I don't got time to be watching dudes fucking build shit out of wood. I gotta get to work. But yeah, there's another one, Stumpy Nubs. He had a series called Old Timey Woodworking, and that was pretty cool too. He built like an old time workbench and stuff.
I think it was called like Happy Feet or something. Like, I got into watching hand hewing logs for a while. You know, you get these weird YouTube crazes you get stuck on.
Down a rabbit hole.
This was super specialized. It was, the channel was all Japanese. So it's a Japanese guy doing traditional Japanese woodworking. And he's out there on a fucking log with his giant Japanese broad axe, barefoot, standing on the edge of it, swinging the axe down towards his feet, hewing this log. And it's not sped up. But he takes off a side of it in under 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And
once you do that, if you do it enough times, you're not going to do it like that in the first place. But, you know, after you do it for a while, it's probably his 10,000th log, his body's conditioned to that. You know, it's amazing. Like, well, like with me and welding, you know, that, you know, heat doesn't bother me. Hot bothers me, but when you, like, I grab stuff out of the oven, you know, it comes out of the oven, you grab the oven mitts, and a couple minutes later, I'll pick it up like a roll or whatever. Well, I don't do it no more because I don't eat that stuff, but I used to pick up dinner rolls, and my wife's like, how do you pick those up? It's like, it doesn't really bother me that much. It's just, you know, you pick up hot things for your job all the time, and it's like, eh. I mean, you still can get burnt. It's just weird. You know, you get used to it. Your body gets used to that. Like, even the heat. I'm glad I don't live in Tennessee and do what I do. Not even a little bit.
90s, you know, is shit.
Everybody thinks that Wisconsin's cold, but this, we get a tropical humidity where I live.
Oh. And,
yeah, 88 degrees with tropical humidity.
No, yeah, we have super high humidity here, and it's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep trying to get you to move here. I just show you pictures of gingers all the time, and it hasn't worked yet.
Hasn't worked yet. No, it's the winters. I don't do cold at all. I get angry during the winter, which is weird because I like the sun. If I could keep the inside of my house at like 65 year round, that's sort of the perfect sweet spot. Like, I sleep the best. Anyway, tools. So, let's talk about tool maintenance.
Okay.
Which is, weirdly enough, like, usually I look at tool maintenance and my preps usually during September. It's sort of my yearly, you know, big catch-all. Does anything need to be oiled, you know, batteries replaced, sharpened.
Right.
So I take care of all my tool maintenance. You know, you do it throughout the year, but September is sort of my check-all, like, whatever I have missed throughout the year.
Well, for me, it's like getting ready for winter.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah, because you want to hear something funny. The leaves are changing here already.
We've got we got a few oddball trees that are starting to change, but the rest of them are still bright green.
Yeah. So, yeah, that starts happening. It's time to cut firewood. It's time to, like, you know, the tools you know you're not going to use, you just take care, you know, wipe them down, stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, with my hand tools and stuff, like my shovels and stuff like that, I strip that crappy-ass coating you get at the store off, and I rub them down with, like, linseed oil. That works really good, you know, just to keep the handles nice and, you know.
Right.
And, you know, spray them down with, like, either, well, WD-40 or PB Blaster. Yeah. I have a half a million cans of that stuff in my garage, all over my garage, because I'm messy, so I just grab whatever's close. Sometimes it's PB Blaster, sometimes it's, you know, WD-40, sometimes it's, the hell's that other one I use? I got a bunch of them. Stuff with Teflon in it. And
I kind of go back and forth, like, on some of my knives, especially, like, pocket knives and some of the other knives that I use. So, like, my pocket knife, I'll use for, like, cutting steaks and shit. You know, I'll use it for, food prep occasionally. So when I oil that up, I'll use olive oil on that.
Right.
Because I want it to be food safe. I'm kind of iffy on some of my bigger outdoor knives. I go back and forth. I don't know if I want to, like, use WD-40 or keep using olive oil for the outside knives. Because, you know, if I'm out camping, I'll whip out the Buck Hoodlum and cut a steak and, you know, cut tomatoes and process food that way.
Right. Yeah. In that case, yeah, I would stick with it. You know, my friend had, like, a meat saw. He bought a meat saw with a meat grinder on it and stuff. We used to cut deer up and stuff. And I used to cut deer up at his house until one day I saw him spraying the blade with WD-40. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, it's just made out of fish oil. It's all right. I'm like, I'm not concerned about the fish oil. It's the other 40 things that are in there. You know, WD-40. Yeah. You know, I don't remember if 40 stands for 40 ingredients or 40 tries. I think it's 40 tries. But it's like, I'm worried about the other stuff. The fish oil, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
He had cast iron. He was spraying cast iron with it. I'm like, you're nuts. I'm like, you're going to die of cancer.
I'm kind of a cast iron Nazi, so I may have slapped him.
Well, I looked at them, and well, I'll put it to you this way. After that year, I never cut another steak on that saw. Not one. Yeah, because you know, when he first got it, you know, it was the hind quarter was frozen. You just put it through the saw and zip, 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 you know, and you know, 3/4 inch thick steaks. You know, heck, it took my processing time from hours to minutes. It was awesome until I saw him do that, and then that fixed that.
Yeah,
you gotta be particular with that stuff. You know, if you're gonna go through all that trouble to get, you know, free range food, why would you screw it up with chemicals at the end?
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely not the thing to do saw maintenance with.
No, but yeah, not that kind of saw. No, not if you're gonna process animals with it. You know, my fucking my bow saw that I cut down trees with, I'll definitely use WD-40 on that. You know, and keep it lubed up to go through the trees faster. But
right, yeah,
I've gone back and forth with the Buck Hoodlum because sometimes it's outside, sometimes it's inside. If I have spare olive oil, I'll put it up with that, you know, and coat it. If I don't, then I'll go WD-40 if I'm gonna go. But I usually, like, if I take it camping and I put WD-40 on it, I won't use it for food processing. I'll use another blade for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would feel the same way. Like with my rifles and my guns and stuff. I heard Jack Spierko say it one time that they just had like a little jar with a rag that you squirted some WD-40 in there, and then when you're done, you sealed it up.
Right.
I've been using that now. For like a couple of years. You know, I've sprayed WD-40 in there a couple times, but you pull the rag out, I'm like, oh, it's nice and oily, not over oily. Wipe my guns down, put it away. You know, that's another thing people forget about too, firearm maintenance. You know, I remember you saying you're horrible at it, but this
I
is the
am
month.
Terrible.
This is the month you should do it. If not, you know, just do it once a year.
Yeah,
but I use my guns too. You know, I feel your pain when you use them, and it's like, man, I gotta clean this thing.
Yeah, no, I've had the AR like spit gunk out at me. I'm like, I should have probably got AK because it could handle it being dirty, and I'm terrible. Which is why I love using frog lube to clean my weapons, because it starts to heat up, and it's so in the pores from where you've used the frog lube, like you can smell the frog lube like start to come out the pores of the metal. And frog lube is food safe, so I can eat it.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, like, you know, you say you use your guns, I use mine too. I'm proud to say that I wore out a Mossberg 500. Wore out the internals in it. You know, I bird hunted and shot pigeons a lot and stuff, like clay pigeons. Yeah, I actually have to take it in one of these days and get it repaired, because it won't even pull shells out of the gun anymore. The extractors are so wore out that, I went to Walmart one time, bought a shopping cart full of clay pigeons and shotgun shells. The lady at the cash register was like, what are you going to do with those? What's it look like? I'm going to shoot the clay pigeons with the shotgun shells.
People are stupid.
I had the shopping cart, James, just heaped. I mean, the clay pigeons were inside and the shotgun shells were just stacked up on top of the clay pigeons. The clay pigeons were flush with the top of the cart.
Oh, wow.
We had a shoot off at my place that day. I think I ran 400 or 500 shells through my shotgun at just one day. It was pretty fun.
Oh, wow.
I have my own shooting range that I built. And clay
pigeons.
Trying
to get one put in here at Mike's place. Normally we just go shoot in the field down there, like pick a stump or something and just shoot into the stump.
Yeah.
Nothing formalized.
Yeah, I got a shooting bench and it's out to 275 yards.
Sweet.
Yeah, I shoot my .22 to 200 sometimes. Just for fun. It's crazy. Yeah. You pull a trigger. Pull the trigger, you hear the gun go off, and then you'll hear the ting of the metal target, you know, like a second later. It takes a little while for the bullet to get there. Anyway, I guess we're off topic
here. We shoot toilet bowls and shit.
Oh my God, I did that before. My parents own a motel. Well, they bought a motel, had it taken down a piece and brought to their place and put up. So there was all these like leftover toilets when I was like in my teen years. There must have been about 20 toilets. I shot up like 20 of them. Shotguns and deer rifles and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had... I still don't drive in that spot, if I can help it. You know, you're young. We never picked it up. It's like, oh, it's Phil for that low spot now.
Oh, it's... Yeah, the worst, me and Mike, we shot a whole bunch of these oxygen canisters, like used to, like for respirators and shit.
Oh yeah.
They explode and send shrapnel at you. So I can't. I can't. Don't try that at home, kids. I had a jagged. It like if you've ever like broke a beer bottle by the neck and had like the jagged ends.
Yeah.
That flew at my face, made of aluminum.
Oh.
I'm like, yep, we're done with this. We're done.
Yeah, you know where I had my bad idea moment there as and definitely don't try this at home. A road flare and a 1 pound propane cylinder. Not a good plan.
Wow.
Yeah, when we were in our teens, we got a bunch of them 1 pound cylinders from Walmart and a few road flares, and yeah. It was a fun day though.
Yeah.
That was before you could buy Tannerite.
Oh, I love Tannerite.
Oh, I'm glad it wasn't around when I was a kid. I'd be in so much trouble. I'd probably still be in jail.
Yeah. Oh, we're super off topic. Let's see what we have to wrap this up. I actually plan on making this a short episode. I'm like, we'll knock out about 20, 30 minutes, talk about some tools, get it done.
Typical fashion, you're almost at an hour.
Yeah. Do you have any tools? Do you do any homesteading out there? Crops, animals, anything?
Yeah, I do like planting and gardening and stuff. I tried for chickens. That's the area I get resistance. My wife won't let me. My Steve told me one day that I should just build a chicken coop and then go get chickens and ask for forgiveness later. I says, I want to sleep in the same bed as my wife. That would be nice. For a little, you know. She'd only be mad for a little while, but, you know. Yeah, like I garden. And
women
I was,
love ducks.
Oh, yeah, I've tried everything. She's like, we're not farmers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like the big thing up here. Either you were a farmer or pretty much a logger, and that's all there is. So, she's pretty resistant to either one. But like my garden and stuff, she don't care. She told me I'm not helping you, and I'm like, fine, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Like, I started doing some permaculture type things here, and now I didn't get as far as I planned on yet. But I'm kind of glad because she's looking at moving. But now, we were looking at maybe adding on to the house, so I'm kind of in a holding pattern with that stuff. But I grow beyond organic tomatoes and stuff like that. And, you know, I have all kinds of hand tools. I do some tilling when I make a new garden bed and stuff. And
right.
But other than that, after that, I'm a lazy gardener. I pile up leaves and pine needles and cardboard. I get, you know, where I work, you get like a 4x4 box that with like 3 foot tall sides and they're like inch thick or so. And I cut them, and I lay them on the ground to snuff out all the weeds, and then eventually I just start planting into that lasagna bed mulch. I had one spot for like 4 or 5 years. I mean, I finally got it. It's all sand here. Like, you can dig 8, 10 feet down, it's sand. I got one spot really nice. I got one spot really nice, and she's like, I really wanted to put the fire pit there. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been working on this for 5 years. Well, I built my garage. I built my garage over the fire pit, so she wanted it back. So it's like, I kind of got to give here. But I do like, I don't spray pesticides on my stuff. I don't, you know, but Yeah, it's I use like garden hose all the time, and I have use shovels a lot because I flip the sod over. I found one of the best ways is use a pitchfork if your garden gets like extra weedy and you just haven't gotten to it. Take a pitchfork and put it in and then pry it up, and it pulls a lot of those weeds out. It works pretty good.
Nice.
Because where I live, the soil's so shitty that like grass struggles to grow. And then if you give grass somewhere that's like, hey, this is nice, it's like fucking super grass.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like it struggles so bad, only the toughest of the tough will make it. And then when you start putting fertility in, it's like, yep, we got everything we need right here. Woohoo! Yeah, so it's a struggle. And I have my one raised garden bed that I built out of recycled material. Kind of like yours, but with 2x3s instead of, sticks.
Yeah, sticks. I basically wanted to build a garden bed, and I was broke for the entire week, so I'm like, well, I'm surrounded by a fucking forest. I'll just cut up trees and make a bed. Done.
I think where maybe you went wrong there is maybe even those little ones that were like an inch or 2 inch, you should have probably split them a couple of times, That would have probably made it easier to weave.
Yes. I started out trying to split them, and it kept going off course. Like, it would just splinter off and splinter off, and then I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to put them down their hole. That was my intention, was to split them so I'd get a better weave out of it. But you adapt and overcome.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. For when I built the damn herb spiral, it was so probably the next thing I'm going to get on my homesteading tool list is either a wheelbarrow. Man, not as much of a preference, or a like big garden cart, with four wheels instead of fucking three wheels. That's what I really want.
Yeah.
Because I had to haul the rocks, the herb spiral, like up to my house. Like I had to go down the big ass driveway, or what used to be a driveway, into the woods, and around the bend, and carry them up, ones, twos at a time. It took a couple hours just hauling rocks.
Yeah, I would definitely, if you get a wheelbarrow, get the two-wheeled one. Spend the extra money and get the one with two wheels. Way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a regular one.
The one-wheel ones, they suck. I hate them.
I had a job when I was a kid, and we had to pour steps, up a thing. I worked for a guy that poured concrete, and the chute wouldn't reach, so we had to sit in the back of his flatbed truck. They would pour the cement in the wheelbarrows, and we wheelbarrowed it up a plank and dumped it. And it's something that, someone spilled one, son of a bitch. Oh, man, we got to fix that. But if he would have had a couple of two-wheel ones, I mean, that's the cat's meow there, It's awesome. Did I tell you I got in trouble for calling my dog a fat fatty?
Joe.
One day we were having a yard sale, and I was sitting there, and my dog comes up. I says, "House, who's a fat fatty? You're a fat fatty." My wife goes, "Knock that off."
Yeah. Oh, man. My cat loves it, but he doesn't care. I found a grasshopper and threw at him before we started podcasting, and he's been following the grasshopper around swatting at his ass.
Oh, that's cool.
All right, let's wrap this up. I think we've covered pretty much everything, and we've ran long like usual.
Yeah, and if there's anything else, I'll be more than happy to come on and we can talk about stuff again. I love coming on your show.
Awesome.
Actually, you're the only show that I've ever actually been asked to go on, so that shows you how popular I am. But I like doing it, especially with you guys, because we get to talk about all kinds of crazy off-topic things.
Right. Why haven't you gone on Spearco's show? I mean, he'll let anyone on there. He'll let me on there, for God's sake.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I don't know. I never really never really gave it much thought. I suppose it would probably help my website out a bunch.
Yeah, I get a little trickle it's up every now and then. And like the 2 days it happened, bam, traffic spiked through the roof. Like one day I got 6,000 people in there.
Yeah. Yeah, GoDaddy would probably yell at me.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, you've got too many downloads. Stop that now. But I don't. Well, every once in a while, people want to come on my show, and you know, you guys are always welcome to come on anytime. I want to get you and Mike on there, and one of these days we'll have to figure something out on a weekend.
Yeah, Saturdays are good. That's usually when we try to podcast, unless Mike misses it or whatever, and then
Facebook's you a picture.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you forgot to tell him that you were going to replace him with me on one of the podcasts. You got to do that on the next podcast. Tell him it went so.
Yeah, no, I told him in person.
Went so good.
Yeah, you're now fired. Cheesehead Mike is the new Mike. Captain General Mike is out.
You got to tell him on the next podcast. Everybody loved Jeff so much that you know. I think I'm just going to go in a different direction. Just got to tell him that right on air.
It's not you. It's me.
It's not you, it's me and everyone else, Mike. I'm sorry. And oh, Mike, if you listen, this is also a way to podcast without nuts in your mouth. Just saying.
All right.
Yeah,
all
I feel
right.
Good. I should be driving around in a pickup truck doing this instead of my kitchen. This is weird.
Yeah. Should have called me on your phone.
Yeah, I should have just drove my truck to Green Bay. You know, I could have sat in Lambeau Field parking lot and talked to you.
There you go. Yeah. Ah, go Pat, go. Okay, yeah. I got to get this up and uploaded and go to hell to bed. So I'll talk to you later, Jeff.
Me too. Bye. Talk to you later. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime.